Good morning and welcome to all. It's a blessing to come to this place of worship and rest. Welcome again to each of you. Glad to see you back, Marietta, and others of you who are visiting. Welcome. Glad you're here. And we are trusting in God's goodness. And I've entitled this very brief time this morning, Tested by Fire. I'd like to begin with several verses out of Isaiah, and then we will be looking at 1 Peter chapter 1. But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. These verses of encouragement from Isaiah 43 remind us that when we walk through the fire, we will not be burned, and we can trust and believe in the presence of the Holy One of Israel. And part of the question that we deal with is, what is our response? How do we appropriately respond to life's difficulties? And it feels as though this testing by fire happened yesterday. And I think this testing is very real for Dwight, Karen, and their family. And when one member of the body suffers, we all suffer. And so it seems that in some measure, we are all being tested by fire. And I invite you to turn to the first chapter of 1 Peter. Here the Apostle Paul is writing to the Jewish exiles who had been pushed out of their homes. And there are three ideas that I would like for you to think about as we read this familiar passage. I won't be spending a lot of time with this passage. The three ideas that I want you to think about as we read, as the word speaks to us. Just now I see Janice here. I didn't mean to miss you, Jen. I'm sorry you had surgery this week, but I didn't expect you to be here. So praise God for that. And Frida, oh my, well, thank you. This is the problem we get into when we start naming. And so, yeah. Well, anyhow, may the Lord be praised. Three things that we want to look at here as we look at this scripture and as we listen to what God says to us in this time. One, we have a living hope. Secondly, we are called to holiness. And thirdly, we are called to brotherly love. And then following this, I will be reading from doing a devotional reading from John Koblenz. So think carefully with me about these three things, the living hope we have, the call to holiness, and the call to brotherly love. 1 Peter 1, reading ESV. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him, though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Now we have, secondly, the call to holiness. Therefore, preparing your minds for action, being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, so also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. We have the living hope, we have the call to holiness, and we have the call to brotherly love. Love finds expression. And the devotional reading I would like to do comes from this book, Journey into God. It was written by John Koblenz. Some of you may have already read it. It was given by faith builders to attendees at the REACH 2017 conference. And Rebecca and I have just found this to be a very helpful book. In fact, we have been using it as a devotional. And I thought I might just read the section in here that we read on Friday morning. And it talks about how, John talks about the different aspects of God. And this particular reading has to do with love finding expression in God. And how do we address God? And how do we handle things when things are difficult? And what do we do with it? And so listen carefully for the concluding paragraph. I was wishing I could summarize this better than what I can, but finally decided I think I will just read this, and I can hear John talking even as I read this. Love finds expression. Love is essential to God and to those who live in relationship with him. Love is not for something they do or say, but it is who they are. Still, love finds expression. Love is always deeper than its expression, but love cannot exist without seeking to be expressed. It finds its way into our intentions, our plans, our desires, our actions, our words, and our mannerisms. Many waters cannot quench love, Solomon wrote in his Songs of Love, in Song of Solomon. And this is true, whether it is love of a man for a woman or the love of a human heart for its creator. When we love, we want to act and speak expressions of our love. Toward God, this is nothing short of worship. We want to express our devotion in lives given to him, offered as living sacrifices, as reasonable, fitting acts of worship, as in Romans 12:1. We want to speak our love, to put into words the joy and wonder of his love for us and the adoration of our hearts for him. We read the Psalms, sing the hymns, say the creeds, and our hearts leap up with an everlasting yes. We also offer spontaneous words of love, testimonies we often call them, or when we're walking or driving or sitting. Sometimes the words burst from us unplanned. Love seeks expression. Nothing is quite like knowing God's love in our hearts and experiencing our love coursing back from our hearts to him, to his. The divine I love you from him washes over us and through us, calling us from a heartfelt and life-encompassing I love you in response. Time stops as the heart of heaven and the responding hearts of clay shout expressions of love to one another. But true love is not mere words, nor is it only exhilarated feelings. True, it is heart-stoppingly enjoyable in those moments of worshipful bliss. But love lays life on the line. It is expressed powerfully and sometimes painfully in continued commitment when ecstatic feelings are absent. We love him in the dry times, the painful times, the confusing times, and the dark times because his love to us is no less than. If anything, when we hurt, when we cry, when life is black and tumbled, his love grows deeper. For us, love has the potential to grow deeper during difficult times. Love for God, like love in marriage, encompasses all of life. There is no time, no location, no experience when love from him does not reach us and enrich us, whether we can sense it or not, or when our love for him does not quiet our hearts and steady our steps. We are joined to him by love in an eternal union that water, fire, flood, angels, demons, and nothing else in all creation can separate. Love is easiest to express when it's clearly felt in the heart. Such expressions of love are wholesome and good. They have the feel of authenticity. But sometimes we don't feel it in the heart. Sometimes we may actually feel other than loving toward God. We may feel frustrated or confused. It is all right to be honest with our contrary feelings. They often are clues to deeper needs in our hearts. And sorting through those feelings in God's presence can bring us into richer understanding of who he is. On the other hand, we must not give way to our unloving feelings. Under the push of popular psychology, the pendulum has swung from ignoring feelings to validating all our feelings and encouraging unbridled expression. It seems that the danger of squelching our emotions and the value of our being tuned to our feelings have both been overplayed to the point of not only letting our feelings hang out without any discretion, but also validating any emotion-driven expression as real. In human relationships, this can result in relational homicide. And in our relationship to God, it can lead people to a false sense of honesty and even honor at their freedom to beat up on God when things aren't going their way, which can be most of the time. It seems to me there must be a healthy place between the extremes of venting every feeling we have in the interests of honesty with God and stifling our honest struggles. Here the Psalms provide us with a raw model. Those who wrote the Psalms were not afraid to ask God hard questions. They did not turn back from expressing surprise, hurt, even anger about the difficult events and people in their lives. But such psalms almost invariably have a turning point, a "but God" juncture. At that crossroads, the psalmist turns from expressions of frustration to expressions of faith and love that sound like this: "But you are my rock, my refuge, my defense, my strength, my deliverer, and I will praise your name forever." The psalmist seems to be willing to do this even before he experienced deliverance. This is loving God by faith. We do not need to see the good hand of God to know it is there. We do not need to hear God's comforting voice or experience his deliverance to believe that his heart is toward us, that he loves us intensely, and that we are in his care. Our expressions of love to God are appropriate when we feel close to Him, when we have enjoyed a special time with Him. But our love for God must be bigger and deeper than responding to Him when we feel His love. Expressing love from our heart to His when we do not understand Him, when He seems distant, when life is hard, and when He has allowed desperate situations from which there seems to be no recovery, is far more true to the love He has given us than merely venting our honest feelings. True love begs to be expressed. If God's love surpasses our love, is it not reasonable that expressions of that love will sometimes run counter to our natural inclinations? If you feel like giving God a verbal punch and priding Him yourself in your honesty, instead you might think about telling Him what is true about His love for you, that it is deeper and higher and wider than you can describe. You will likely find it more inspiring to describe His love for you than to tell Him what is true about your feelings in the moment. Shall we bow our heads for prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, we love You deeply, and we're grateful that You love us with an all-encompassing love that goes beyond our ability to imagine, experience, or express. And so we thank You for that. And so, precious Lord Jesus, we just now in this moment commit ourselves to speaking of Your great love and Your great goodness, even in the midst of great loss. And we believe that You are good, and we affirm that we will trust You through fire and through water. We thank You, precious Lord Jesus, for what You're going to do in us and in this service. We commit it to You in the name of Jesus. Amen.